Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NZME's full year 2017 results briefing. Today's call is being recorded. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. And afterwards, there will be a question and answer session for investors and analysts. I would now like to hand over to NZME's CEO, Michael Boggs, who will run through the results presentation released to the market earlier this morning. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Michael Boggs here, and I'm the CEO of NZME. Welcome to our full year 2017 results briefing, and thanks for joining us today. Looking at today's agenda on slide 3, firstly, I'll provide an overview of the results. I'll then speak in more detail about our operations, including what's happening in our print, radio and digital revenue streams, and I'll introduce you to our new digital classifieds projects. I'll also then take you through the financial detail before presenting a summary of our outlook and our strategy. This slide features our brilliant breakfast team at The Hits, Sarah, Sam and Tony, who have been receiving a great response from listeners. I'll talk more about this shortly. I will welcome your questions at the end of the presentation. Before we get to the results, slide 4 depicts NZME as it operates today. We're an integrated, audience-centric media business across print, radio and digital channels. With an unmatched portfolio of leading brands, delivering premium news, sport and entertainment content, we are uniquely placed to help advertisers engage with their customers. Bringing print, radio and digital together to form NZME has delivered revenue opportunities and cost efficiencies. In the medium term, NZME aims to be a growth business, and as such, we continue to explore ways to further improve efficiency, address customer needs, and grow new revenue streams. With our great assets and people, we are well positioned to grow shareholder value in this dynamic media landscape. Let me briefly illustrate our multi-platform content creation and distribution in action during the New Zealand general election in September 2017. This is on slide 5. Taking innovative approach to driving audiences over this period resulted in over 3.8 million unique browsers visiting nzherald.co.nz, consuming a significant 16.7 million page views. We developed interactive online features, allowing voters to compare the main party's campaign policies. We tracked their regional electoral results, seats won in Parliament, and on election night, we broadcast 5 hours of live television from NZME Central and a number of election headquarters nationwide. This coverage exhibits the extent of our integration and ability to create and deliver great content across our market-leading cross-platform brands here at NZME. Moving to the results on slide 6, which we are pleased with, I'll just remind you at the outset that FY17 was our first full year operating as NZME Limited. Our 2016 results were impacted by the demerger from HT&E, formerly APN, and also included several discontinued businesses. The 2016 pro forma numbers, which are shown here, are adjusted to provide a more useful measure of how the company has performed under its current structure. I'll also mention that our business transformation post the merger is ongoing, which means we continue to incur restructuring costs that we treat as exceptional and exclude from trading results. The costs of progressing the proposed merger with Stuff Limited, previously known as Fairfax New Zealand, are also treated as exceptional, and these are detailed on slide 34. Our full year 2017 statutory net profit after tax was $20.9 million. That represents earnings of 10.7 cents per share. Trading NPAT of $26.7 million, by comparison, was down 4% from the pro forma 2016 trading NPAT and was 13.6 cents per share. Trading revenue declined by 4% in 2017 to $387.7 million, a similar decline to 2016. However, thanks to a 5% reduction in operating costs, trading EBITDA of $66.2 million was down just 2% compared to the pro forma 2016 result. Given the weak third quarter trading that we mentioned in late August, we're pretty pleased with how we finished the year, reflecting the resilience of our business and the hard work of the whole company on improving efficiency. The board has declared a fully imputed final dividend of 6 cents per share for payment on the 3rd of May this year. This is equal to last year's final dividend, bringing full-year dividends to 9.5 cents per share, consistent with the dividend policy of 60 to 80% of underlying net profit. A supplementary dividend will also be paid to qualifying non-tax resident shareholders. In the face of ongoing industry headwinds, we're pleased to continue to deliver attractive returns for shareholders. On slide 7, you'll see some images that were part of our Lions Rugby Series campaign, where, once again, we brought a cross-platform solution to our coverage and audience engagement. Slide 8 provides an overview of how we performed in 2017 against our 7 key operational priorities to improve shareholder value, and I can report that we've had a productive year and made very good progress. Our audience of 3.2 million New Zealanders is a key driver of value in our business, providing our advertising customers a unique opportunity to engage with their marketplaces. The most recent Nielsen results show our audience grew an encouraging 2% in 2017, supported by an increase in nzherald.co.nz audience and radio listener growth. Despite the challenging third quarter, in which advertising spend was impacted by the New Zealand general election and a slowing property market, the rate of decline in print advertising revenue was a little lower than 2016. We also maintained print subscriber revenue in 2017. I'm pleased to report we returned overall radio revenue to growth in the fourth quarter of 2017. This was a key objective of ours. The revenue improvement in radio was supported by the completion of our sales team integration and the talent and content enhancements that were made during the year. However, it's still early days, and while the trends are encouraging, we're yet to see the full benefit of these changes in the financial results. We're also working on a number of other initiatives to maintain momentum in the business, and I'll talk about those shortly. We achieved digital revenue growth of 18%, which we estimate outperformed the market in 2017, with strong growth in mobile advertising a key feature. We're excited about our motoring, employment and property digital classifieds platforms, which are ready to launch. We are working hard to be as efficient as possible, reflected in a further 5% reduction in operating costs in 2017. We also maintain CapEx within our budget while still investing in growth initiatives. Developing our people and talent is very important to us. Given the pace of change in our industry, we've focused strongly on employee engagement. Results have been positive, and we're starting to see the benefits of this across the company. We've also enhanced and capitalised on our talent across the key brands, including News Talk ZB, The Hits, Coast and ZM. This work continues as part of our strategy to generate sustainable growth in radio. Our final priority for 2017 was to progress the merger with Stuff Limited. We've applied for leave to appeal the court's adverse ruling on the matter, which we expect will take place this year. We are pleased with progress on each of these priorities, and have been working to fine-tune our strategy looking forward. We'll continue to reimagine our revenue models through our strategic initiatives, and I'll cover those a little bit later. In June last year, we relaunched the New Zealand Herald website utilising Washington Post ARC technology. Slide 9 exhibits our launch campaign with four key consumer groups identified as key audience targets, whose media needs and habits were at the heart of the redesign. These were aspirationals, community-spirited, open-minded observer, and information junkies. These segments were then brought to life in the marketing campaign. Slide 10 illustrates that we are estimated to outperform the market in all measurable revenue segments. We are proud of this achievement, but we also know that to grow the value in the medium term, we need to see absolute revenue growth, not just outperformance of our competitors. The New Zealand print advertising market declined by 12% in 2017, however, our print advertising revenue declined only 9% for the same period. That's a great result. Our radio agency revenue was up 4% for the year, ahead of the 2% growth seen for the market. We note that this comparison excludes our direct radio revenues, which declined year on year. However, second half was better, and as I mentioned earlier, total radio revenues returned to growth during Q4. The most recent digital market spend report to Q3 shows that our digital display revenue growth for the first three quarters of 2017 of 19% was well above market growth of 10% for the same period. On slide 11, we illustrate the significance of NZME's presence in New Zealand, and despite our audience scale, we think there's still room for more growth. Cross-pollinisation is increasing between our brands, as we illustrated on the election slide earlier. This means we have multiple engagement points with our readers, listeners and watchers, often remaining engaged with them across multiple platforms over an entire day. We achieved consistent growth and reach across the country in 2017, supported by stable New Zealand print readership, successive market-specific radio shows, expansion of our radio footprint, and strong digital growth, particularly through the New Zealand Herald digital platform. Moving to the operational detail around sources of revenue, slide 12 shows that print advertising revenue declined by 9% in 2017, a little better than the 10% decline in 2016, an outcome we were happy with given the weak third quarter. As I mentioned earlier, our strong brands and unique offering enabled us to grow print advertising market share in 2017, reaching an estimated 42% in the fourth quarter, as shown here on the chart. The decline in circulation revenue was stabilised at 3% year-on-year, with retail volume pressures partially offset by cover price increases across the majority of our titles in the first quarter. We maintained stable subscriber revenues through yield management in the form of selective cover price increases. Ideally, in the medium term, we would like to further slow the rate of decline in circulation revenue, and this would ideally be through a combination of retaining circulation numbers and gradual price increases. Other print revenue relates to print and distribution services we provided to external parties, and this continues to be impacted by volume reductions among non-NZME mastheads. The first chart on slide 13 shows that the New Zealand Herald's readership has been stable over the past year, assisted at times by events such as the America's Cup in the first half of 2017. This highlights the resilience of print, which, even with growth in other areas of the business, still contributes 57% of our revenue. Across the New Zealand Herald, Herald on Sunday, and five regional daily newspapers, our subscriber base is strong. The 5% decline in our average net circulation from the end of 2016 to Q3 2017 was better than the 7% decline for the market, again reflecting our brand strength and reader loyalty. The daily brand audience of the New Zealand Herald passed 1 million for the first time in the third quarter across both print and digital. The Herald remains as our most valuable asset and working hard to continue to grow its audience to further enhance its value. There's a lot more work to do, but we're happy with our 2017 achievements in print. Turning to radio, we were pleased to see better ratings reflected in increased agency revenue in 2017. Outperforming estimated market growth in this segment. Due to differences in buying behaviours, however, our direct advertising business has been slower to respond to audience growth. To progress our priority of returning radio revenue to growth, we completed a number of initiatives in 2017 in both sales and content. In sales, in the second half, we completed a nationwide transformation, ensuring all direct frontline staff are equipped to sell radio. You might remember that we completed about 60 to 70% of this in August. We also put in place a new incentive scheme in the second half to optimise the integration of our sales teams. The new CRM system and suite of sales tools, operationalised in the second half, has further supported integrated sales and enhanced customer engagement. On the content side, we continue to work to ensure we have the best offer in the market to inform, entertain and attract radio audiences. We made a number of talent enhancements in 2017 that have supported this objective, and the results have been positive. As illustrated in the first chart on slide 14, through 2017 we achieved a healthy growth in share of our key 18 to 54-year-old major market audience, reflecting the quality of our brands and talent. This assisted revenue a little in 2017, but we feel we can do more in converting this audience gain to sales. New Zealand's leading news and talk station, News Talk ZB, retained the highest station market share nationally, also winning a number of other categories. The Hits Breakfast Show with Sarah, Sam and Tony also grew audience in every survey since launch in early 2017, as shown in the second chart. On the digital radio side, what's going on at iHeart is pretty interesting, with registered users reaching 700,000 in 2017. That's 35% growth in just 12 months. The service now reaches more than 17 of New Zealanders' 10-plus population, and we think it can do a lot better than this. The implementation of customized ad targeting software also provides enhanced revenue opportunities. Our operational initiatives and audience growth pleasingly resulted in radio revenue returning to growth in the fourth quarter of the year. However, we're yet to realise the full benefits of these improvements and will continue to work towards sustained radio revenue growth. Over the page on 15, we detail initiatives either planned or underway in our radio business to support audience and revenue growth. Firstly, the markets on the map show our leading radio coverage in New Zealand. The orange markets highlight where we've extended our radio footprint with a modest investment in new frequencies. We think the payback on these is attractive given they complement existing assets. The Hits and Coast are our third and fourth largest brands by cumulative audience, as shown on the chart below. In December, we launched the Hits and the Coromandel on three separate frequencies and Coast and Whangamata, shown by the orange markers. This is the first time we've had coverage in the Coromandel region of the North Island, which offers a permanent population of 40,000, tripling over the summer months as it's a popular holiday destination. We've also optimised radio frequency utilisation to further support audience and revenue growth. Also in the North Island and the Manawatu, Coast has added an FM frequency to complement its AM presence. In Hawke's Bay, Coast has switched with Hariki from AM to FM. We continue to enhance talent and content to expand audience and ultimately radio revenue. A refresh of News Talk ZB is underway, including bringing in talent like Simon Barnett, who will be joining ZB in 2019. Simon has more than 25 years industry experience and is a highly recognised and respected broadcaster in New Zealand. After the success of Sarah, Sam and Tony's Auckland Breakfast Show, we also extended the show across the North Island and introduced a new local show for the Hits in Christchurch with Brodie and Fitzy. This has been well received. Turning to digital, we're pleased with digital revenue growth at 18% in 2017. The relaunch of NewZealandHerald.co.nz, supported by the Washington Post ARC software, grew revenue through innovative ad executions and increased premium inventory. The ARC software suite also enhances content management by creating a user-centric experience to grow and engage audiences. This enables parallel testing of alternate content and functionality, user registration and notification capability, and a new authoring tool for our journalists. Mobile, video and programmatic advertising were key digital revenue drivers, with native video streams growing 38% year on year. This was assisted by the New Zealand Herald Focus, our video news channel regularly hitting more than 1.5 million views a week, an increase of over 100% compared to 2016 average. This helped New Zealand Herald.co.nz unique audience grow 12% in 2017, as shown in the chart on slide 16. Importantly, direct traffic to our sites was stronger in the fourth quarter, a positive development which suggests we are reducing reliance on social referrals. This improves our ability to control the reader experience and lifts time engaged with our products, which is better for both our audience and our advertisers. We continue to emphasise new product development. We launched our first multi-platform content series, including some podcasts called Chasing Ghosts in October, which introduced a new level of storytelling. And another exciting initiative, New Zealand Herald and News Talk ZB flash briefings and ZM's custom Amazon Alexa skill were made available for the launch of Alexa in New Zealand earlier this month. GrabOne, or e-commerce revenue, declined 18% in 2017. However, this was an improvement on the first half decline of 20% and was assisted by the new GrabOne website and app, which we launched in May. In the fourth quarter, traffic grew 9% year on year, reducing revenue decline, and was driven by improved deal relevancy targeting. We will continue to enhance this platform with an improved merchant, product and audience offering through into 2018. We are all pretty excited about our new digital classifieds marketplaces in motoring, employment and property, with Driven, Udo and OneRoof being introduced to you on slide 18. We think our leading audience, brands and industry relationships provide a tremendous opportunity to establish new revenue streams in support of our objective to become a growth business in the medium term. We believe the opportunity in the digital classified space is attractive and justifies our investment of capital and resources. The intention over the medium term is to create market-leading platforms and experiences in each of the three verticals, supported by competitive advantages as a unique multi-platform media company. In particular, our growing audience of more than 3.2 million New Zealanders and content capabilities across text, video and audio allows us to more rapidly build product awareness and traffic for the new sites. Given our unique brand portfolio and reach, we're able to offer advertisers valuable multi-platform bundling opportunities in these marketplaces. The full launch of these three new sites is only beginning now, and as such, it's very early days. Revenue from these businesses, as with any startup, will be seen gradually over time and will likely lag costs in the short term. While we see the medium-term opportunities for these platforms as appealing, the market is competitive and our financial expectations in the initial phase of operation remain modest. Given our well-established traditional media operations in auto, property and jobs, NZME already has broad and deep relationships and an inherent understanding of the industry dynamics. But we're not just about emulating existing online offers. Each of the new sites provides an innovative user experience and proposition that aims to evolve the market and consumer behaviour. Slide 19 provides more detail on the strategy. So Driven, our motoring platform, now carries more than 34,000 vehicle listings, which compares to an estimated 80,000 for Trade Me. The site will utilise video and native content with the aim of becoming the only place you need to go for everything motoring. For example, we're already offering video vehicle reviews on the site. Our development roadmap also includes dealer profiles and unique tools for buyers and sellers. Our employment platform, Udo, was announced in December and is currently in beta with full launch planned this quarter. Through NZME's growing national audience, Udo is uniquely placed to target both the active and the passive employment market. Research suggests 38% of those who are currently working said they're on the lookout for new opportunities. That's the active market. Udo also offers a way for employers to engage with the estimated additional 43% of workers not actively looking for a new job, but open to offers, and that's the passive component of the market. Udo will be a hub of news, tips, advice, trends and insights, supported by our strong content capabilities to equip job seekers for the age of job evolution and disruption. For employers, Udo will allow businesses to showcase their values, culture and career opportunities via NZME's unique multi-platform media network. Our new property platform, OneRoof, goes beyond simple home listings to give buyers the latest property insights, including detailed suburb data, property values, and some unique functionality. OneRoof will also feature market-leading editorial content from the real estate team at the New Zealand Herald to inspire readers, home hunters, and investors around the country. The site is live, the apps are available, with a full launch also planned for this quarter. The team has a very busy year ahead as we launch these ventures. We're excited by these opportunities, but this is just one of the areas we're looking to drive shareholder value. We also remain focused on our operational priorities, which include retaining revenue in our traditional businesses and improving operational efficiency. These are also fundamental to achieving our goals for NZME shareholders. Let's now look at our trading result on slide 21. As a reminder, as in the past, full reconciliations of trading and pro forma adjustments are available in the supplementary slides to this presentation. We believe these trading and pro forma measures provide more useful information to shareholders in assessing the performance of the company as it stands today. While we are working to return total revenue to growth in the medium term, given the headwinds in the traditional segments of our business, we were pleased to continue to limit the overall pro forma revenue decline to just 4% in 2017. It's in line with the rate of decline experienced in 2016. Other income was down 6% in the year, largely due to a reduction in third-party back-office services provided. Continued progress on operational initiatives helped us achieve a 5% reduction in costs year on year. Consequently, trading EBITDA of $66.2 million in 2017 was only 2% lower than the FY16 pro forma EBITDA. We're pleased with this result and with returning consistent shareholder returns in the form of a stable 6 cents per share fully imputed final dividend. Our continued focus on efficiency and further integration of the business has again underpinned an excellent cost performance, which I discuss on slide 22. We achieved a 4% reduction in people costs for the year, supported by the ongoing benefits of operational initiatives such as our sales team transformation and reduced contributor and contractor costs. The 9% reduction in print and distribution costs was assisted by the completion of technology improvements at our Ellerslie print plant, including the closed-loop colour print project. Volume reductions and paper savings also contributed to lower costs. As would be expected, agency commission and marketing costs declined 3% for the year, broadly in line with our overall revenue decline. Property costs were 3% lower in 2017, assisted by rent efficiency, following the completion of our regional co-locations over the course of the year, as well as reductions in radio transmission costs. The 9% reduction in content costs was driven by contract rationalisation across the entire business, as well as reduced sports rights and live data feed costs for events in 2017 when compared to the prior year. IT and communication costs were our biggest cost increase, rising 13% due to increased use of software as a service content and sales platforms. This increase was a result of moving to a more capital efficient model, which mitigates the need for future capital expenditure in these areas. Savings in professional fees, travel and vehicle expenses helped to reduce other costs by 10%. Cost efficiency continues to be a priority in our FY18 strategic plan. There were a number of exceptional items, largely relating to ongoing transformation and integration activities, which appear in the statutory results, but are excluded from the trading results. These are detailed on slide 34 and mainly comprise redundancies and one-off projects. Moving to the balance sheet on slide 23, we are pleased with the reduction in net debt over the year to $90.2 million at December 2017. The reduction in net debt was achieved on the back of relatively stable EBITDA and CapEx within plan. It's pleasing we're able to pay attractive dividends to shareholders, implement our growth strategy, and reduce debt at the same time in 2017. This outcome is consistent with our medium-term capital management objectives. Now, looking at some of the movements in working capital items, higher trade and other receivables compared to December 2016 reflects an increase in prepayment of software licences implemented during the year. Lower trade and other payables compared to December 2016 reflects the overall reduction in operating costs, the payment of licences in advance, and a change in the timing of sales incentive payments from quarterly to monthly. EBITDA interest cover and net debt to EBITDA for prior periods has been restated using pro forma results comparable with FY17 trading results. Our trading EBITDA interest cover is more than 15 times. Our net debt to trading EBITDA remains a healthy 1.4 times. Capital expenditure in FY17 was in line with our budget of $15 million. We expect to maintain this level of spending in 2018, including the capital component of the investment in digital classifieds and other projects under our 2018 plan. Given our healthy cash flow and balance sheet, dividends have been declared with respect to 2017, consistent with the policy to pay 60 to 80% of underlying NPAT. Before we discuss strategy, I would like to provide a brief update on our outlook for the year. Traditional advertising markets continued to face headwinds in 2017, and we anticipate a similar climate in 2018. While operational efficiency remains a focus, as seen last year, the rate of cost reduction is slowing, and therefore EBITDA is likely to continue to be pressured in the near term. As mentioned earlier, NZME is reinvesting in growth initiatives such as Driven, Udo and OneRoof, with revenue benefits from these expected to be realised over the medium term. Supported by revenue retention in the existing business and the development of new revenue streams, NZME's goal remains to achieve overall revenue and EBITDA growth in the medium term. Moving on to slide 26, pursuing a merger with Stuff remains a priority to improve the competitiveness of New Zealand's content generation and delivery. The synergies associated with the proposed merger have been estimated to be between $36.8 million and $55.7 million per annum. On the 7th of February, NZME and Fairfax applied for leave to appeal the High Court's decision to the Court of Appeal. Subject to a final decision on the scope of appeal, it is expected that the matter will be heard in the Court of Appeal in the second quarter of this year, with a judgment expected in the second half. If unsuccessful, there is a further right of appeal to the Supreme Court, with leave on points of general public interest. If an appeal is successful, completion of the transaction remains subject to finance and shareholder approval. NZME continues to share the costs of the legal process with Fairfax. The shared costs going forward are expected to be less than $500,000. We believe this is a worthwhile investment when weighed against the potential benefits of the transaction for shareholders and for the long-term sustainability of a strong New Zealand media sector. Let's now discuss our strategic plan for 2018. On slide 27, we outline our strategic plan, which is based around the three horizon model. It focuses on optimising our existing business while launching new ventures to take advantage of our existing audience and customer relationships, and identifying new business models to address unmet customer needs. The priorities supporting each horizon are similar to those that we've focused on to deliver shareholder value since the demerger, although we've refreshed some of the priorities to reflect the progress we've made. You may note that we've moved away from a focus on print, radio and digital revenue goals to aggregate these at the company level, which is how we look at the business and we think a more useful approach in terms of communicating our strategy. We remain very focused on growing audience and our audience engagement. This will be achieved through the amplification of NZME's brands and developing more planned, unique, local and premium content. This will be further supported by innovations such as the Washington Post ARC roadmap, with the next steps being a customised content delivery tool and the implementation of paid content solutions. Returning total revenue to growth across the business is a focus for the medium term. Retaining print revenues as best we possibly can, growing digital revenue and capitalising on radio enhancements is expected to help us achieve this goal. We'll continue to explore opportunities to leverage our existing fixed cost base and ensure a strong balance sheet, enabling us to invest for growth, reduce debt, maintain financial stability and maximise shareholder returns. Engaging and developing our people is core to our success, with an emphasis on improving leadership, engagement and succession planning for our people and talent. We are growing new revenue streams through initiatives such as Driven, Udo and OneRoof, improved data monetisation and further developing a paid content proposition. We will also explore opportunities to reimagine the business, creating new markets and addressing unmet customer needs through the development of new business models. As outlined earlier, we are still working on the merger with Stuff Limited, with a view to improving our efficiency and to underwrite the competitiveness of New Zealand content generation and delivery. We look forward to updating you on our progress. Before we conclude, I'd like to provide a short governance update. As you may be aware, Sir John Anderson retired as chairman and from the board of NZME on the 8th of December last year. Sir John made an invaluable contribution to NZME, including leading the board through the demerger from HT&E Limited and our listing in June 2016. At the same time as Sir John's retirement, independent director Peter Cullinane was appointed as chair and David Gibson appointed as independent director. Mr. Cullinane has a background in global advertising and marketing and has been a valued member of the NZME board since listing. David Gibson has strong experience in strategy and finance with over 20 years in investment banking. A board renewal process has been underway to ensure NZME continues to have strong governance and the appropriate resources and skills to support its growth strategy. Mr. Gibson was appointed as a result of that process, which continues this year. So to summarise today's presentation, We're pleased with our progress this year against each of our priorities and the delivery of attractive shareholder returns in the form of stable dividends. Given our market-leading brands and audience reach, great people, and unique integrated offering, we're well placed to optimise return from existing assets, as well as look beyond advertising to reimagine revenue models to address unmet customer needs. Thank you again to all NZME staff for your dedication and hard work, and to our shareholders for your continued support. I'll now be very happy to take your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ari Decker from First NZ Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Michael. A few questions from me. Firstly, just in terms of radio, could you just give a little bit of direction on how you're seeing first quarter and whether you're continuing to experience the return to growth that you saw in fourth quarter?
Yeah, thanks, Ari, and good morning. Yeah, so I think Q1 started well for us. So you know, just to repeat what you said, Q4 we did see growth in radio overall. Q1 has started well. You know, I'm not sure we're consistently there month in, month out yet, but we're really pleased with the progress we're seeing given all the changes we've made to date and continuing to make.
Okay, and then print advertising was obviously a year of two halves. Did better than trend in the first half and then, you know, worse than trend in the second. Obviously there's an element of event-driven aspects to that and you pointed out the election having sort of an impact. Can you just sort of talk to what you're seeing in first quarter 18 there as well, given how divergent the performance was across those two halves?
Yeah, no problem. So maybe if we go back to our half-year results, and you'll recall we signalled that the second half had started a little slower than the first half from a revenue perspective. And fundamentally, it was elections and, you know, real estate driven around elections. And to be fair, as soon as we had a government in place, which was obviously a little bit after elections, we saw an immediate pick-up in trend and improved revenue trends. So if you compare us to the market for second half, I think you'll see we've done better than others have announced.
Yep.
So again, we're doing better than market, and we don't see the H2 being the go-forward.
Yeah, sure. So you know, in terms of FY18, a reasonable starting point would sort of be somewhere around the, you know, the combination of those two halves or what you've sort of seen in recent years.
That's right. I think that'd be fair.
Yeah, okay, great. Look, in terms of the cost out momentum, on an adjusted basis, you know, sort of circa $25 million out in 16. You did very well in 17 as well, but $15 million out. You've sort of signalled that rate of decline in cost out will continue to slow, and I guess there's also the consideration of the digital initiatives which are starting in earnest in terms of launch in FY18. In terms of, you know, the operating cost base for FY18, do you sort of think that the same sort of stepwise down reduction that we saw from 16 to 17 is reasonable to assume in 18?
Maybe once you take into account some of the reinvestment. So
yep.
We absolutely see cost out and we're continuing to work on that every day. We've obviously got some good run rate coming through from last year from the great things we were able to do across the business last year. So that will flow through. But at the same time, as you mentioned, we want to reinvest in getting the three key digital initiatives out in the market this quarter. So by default, I think that we'll see a reduction in the overall level. But, cost out remains a focus for us.
Sure. In terms of the ARC initiative and I guess monetization of that through premium subscription, is that something that we should expect to see in FY18?
Yeah, I think you'll definitely see it in the market in FY18. I don't think you should be trying to predict a whole lot of revenue from it this year. But you'll absolutely see the capability brought to the market. But probably importantly for us right now, we're focused on let's make sure we improve the premium content we have on the site, and the team is very focused on the planned and unique content that we've spoken about in the past. The infrastructure and technology is in place. The nurturing of the audience, you know, over the coming months to make sure they're loving that content, the registration from them, and then obviously the monetization of them will be the last thing in that process.
Sure, and perhaps just two more from me quickly for now. Just on the exceptional items and the project cost, you've guided to what you sort of expect the expenses to be with stuff going forward reasonably low to appeal through the Court of Appeal. Does that mean that we should sort of count on exceptional items being lower in FY18 and in particular that project costs being lower?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, I think you'll still continue to see some costs there as we look for cost out across the business, but wouldn't expect that project line to be as big.
Okay, and last one, Fairfax, or Stuff as they now refer to, made an announcement yesterday around a bunch of their mastheads. In terms of when you look at your portfolio, you know, in evaluating that, as you probably do on a regular basis, do you sort of foresee, you know, something along those lines, you know, in the next 12, 18 months, or are you quite happy that you'll continue to have a stable portfolio for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw from them was quite a radical change to the percentage of titles overall. You know, we've done a few minor changes over the last year or two, as you will have seen, and so there may continue to be minor changes, but certainly no intentions at this stage of doing anything radical. And in fact, you know, we absolutely think local content and continuing to be in those local markets is really important for us for the future.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Roger Coleman from CCZ Equities. Please go ahead.
Michael, just following on that, looking at the paywall, the company's quite a few years behind your standard, you know, august newspaper groups around the world. So how fast are we going to go on this in terms of paywall or exclusive premium content? You just indicated it was going to be a bit slow, but it should be much faster than that.
Yeah, so... I don't want to indicate it's slow. We're certainly going very fast on it, Roger, because we actually think it's a really good initiative for us as an organisation and will allow us to monetise and produce much, much more premium content. So, yeah, our focus right now is continuing to improve the level of the content so that people are then prepared to pay for it, and we absolutely see that happening this year.
Right, so therefore in terms of cost, I'm looking to split up a cost and there's a $10.8 million figure down there for content, right? Is that your editorial content across the group? Is that correct or not?
Much of that is external purchasing, so I'm really talking about the resources we have internally for producing the content.
Yep. Right, now in terms of the radio with Slingshot, you know, the ratings are up, you know, 8 to 10% depending which survey you're looking at, and the market's up slightly. Your performance should be much better than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. So
should be much better than what was reported.
Yeah, absolutely. We still think we've got a way to go on radio. We're pleased we're back into growth because we've obviously had a drag the last 2 years. So that's been our first checkpoint. But there's nothing probably that keeps us more awake at night than making sure that we're in that growth business and getting our share of it.
Right. And my last question, and I'll come back if there's any more room for questions. In respect of the digital startup cost for those three pillars, could you give us some idea of the quantum of the cost for fiscal calendar 2018?
Yeah, so, you know, to date, much of the cost has been within capital expenditure. So you will have seen we came in at $15 million of CapEx overall, and we've been considering that for a couple of years. The cost for us going in are... You know, some people, because what we're actually doing is leveraging much of the business around content, sales, and the ongoing development. But importantly, you know, we don't just want to use our assets initially for bringing these to market. So I think you'll see us using some external marketing assets to help make sure we can get to everyone in New Zealand. So there'll just be a little bit of extra cost as we bring that in this year.
Right, I'll come back in a minute if there's no more questions, okay?
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Guy Hillwright, Woodward Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Michael. That's a good result. Well done. Better than I thought, which is good. And a very full presentation, too. I had
that
a couple
could have
of,
been a full presentation, yeah.
I had I had some questions that have already been answered, but outside that, you mentioned you've got 35,000 listings up already on Driven.
Yeah.
Can you give us any idea of what kind of revenue run rate that's achieving?
So the initial process is actually to put them on from a free basis to build the audience, to build the listings and then build the audience. So you know, once we're actually above the line and marketing and sending audience to it and then obviously inquiries, that's when we'll start to monetize it. I guess I don't want to give anything away on overall pricing or anything at the moment, but we'll be happy to talk further on that in the coming weeks and months.
Okay. All right. Redundancy costs down a little bit this year, but they're still there, and I guess realistically in a business like this, they're going to be a feature for the foreseeable future. Can you give us any idea on what kind of quantum you're expecting in FY18?
I guess all I go back to is we're continuing to take cost out of the business. It's not all redundancy related, but unfortunately it does often end up being that as well. So, you know, I'd just be looking for similar trends to the last few years, and that it will be a cost that we'll continue to see while we do that.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. That's all I had for the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Matt Henry from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Sorry. I guess just sort of following on other points, you mentioned radio returning to growth in the fourth quarter. How much of that's been direct driven? So you addressing that direct channel versus kind of, I guess, agency where you've kind of held your own of late?
Yeah, so you will have seen in the last year, I think radio was up 4% overall versus the market being 2%. And so even in the last quarter, we didn't have direct totally into growth, but we are seeing months of it. So that's the key one to get us above continued market growth there. Unfortunately, we don't have any market stats on direct, and we're still working to see if that's a possibility to be able to get some more information on that. But I think we're really seeing the green shoots, and we will see that into this year.
Do you have a sense on how much of it has been market versus, I guess, your own internal your restructuring?
From an improvement perspective, are you meaning?
Well, also, I guess both really, the initial, the initial headwinds, and then the improvement. How much was the internal sort of restructuring a distraction for your sales guys?
Yeah, so I think maybe you could go back a couple of years ago, and you could certainly say there's been some, some of the restructuring would have had an impact on it. In the direct space, obviously there was different things that happened in the radio agency space with the Radio Bureau some years ago. But that's what we fixed middle of last year as we brought the teams together to be able to sell everything, educate all of our reps to be able to sell radio, the new operating systems and customer management systems that were in place middle of last year, the new incentive schemes, those are the things that are really starting to pay off now.
Right. But do you think you missed a few, missed a bit during that middle there where you were going through that restructuring?
I think what happened is a lot of our sales team realised that they had other products to sell, and a key one was digital, this great asset called nzherald.co.nz that they could go and sell. And given that that was a big growth area and continues to be for the business, we needed to make sure that everyone realised they needed to be focused on everything.
Okay. And then again, just on Ari's point around print, are you able to give us some colour on what the third quarter and fourth quarter growth rates looked like last year, just to highlight the kind of impact of the election?
From print, for example?
Yeah.
That, for example, yeah. So I haven't got them, but you'll obviously, for that first 6 weeks, we noted what our overall revenue declines were. And so it was really consistent for the rest of Q3. So, you know, Q4 was the balancing item where we saw the improvement. So that's, okay. I'm trying to think in those second half results, I'm going to say it was minus 6 or 7 or in the first half, in those first 6 weeks, which then flowed through.
Okay. And then just on, I know the question was asked about the investment you're making in digital classifieds. On an ongoing basis, what sort of commitment is that? Both from an OPEX perspective and a CAPEX perspective?
It's not substantial. So it's only effectively the launch phase of it, and we're as much as possible leveraging the rest of the business, and we're using some of the cost savings you've seen obviously come through the last year as net of some of the investments, but minor investment to continue going forward other than launch cost.
Okay, and when you say, yeah, when you talk about launch, like if we take Driven, which has been around, I guess, for a reasonable period, when you say you're launching it this quarter, what does that exactly mean relative to, you know, what you've been doing with the platform over the last 12 months?
So you won't have seen Driven marketed. You won't have seen it above the line at all other than through some of our assets in an understated way. So we'll much more be bringing it to life through video production, and in fact you can actually see some of that now being brought out. With Sam Wallace leading it from a Driven News perspective, you'll see it above the line much, much more.
Okay. All right, that's me. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from Roger Coleman. Please go ahead.
Just looking at those three classified pillars, Michael, it's obvious that the market's much bigger than what TradeMe makes out of them, because it doesn't really go for the premiums that, you know, in the per house vendor pricing model. I mean, all three are very important for the company, and I'm wondering what sort of executive incentives you've got. Are they adequate? Are they separated? And can the guys that make any of these three pillars, which probably could earn more EBITDA than the New Zealand Herald alone pretty easily, have you got it rightly structured in terms of people?
Yeah, so I think one thing you may have seen that we did during the last half of last year is pull all of our digital initiatives under a new role of Chief Digital Officer, Laura Maxwell. Now, Laura's actually here with me, and in fact, Laura will accompany me when we come to visit the shareholders analysts over the coming days. But what we've done is actually said these are really, really important, and we need to bring these together in one place. And unfortunately, large organisations often eat their young children, and I'm determined to make sure that's not the case, that this large organisation actually supports and drives its children, and hence why we brought all that together in one place. And I think you'll find a very focused team, and I'm sure Laura will be very happy to talk about that further in the days ahead.
Right, right. And then lastly, in terms of New Zealand overall media market, how do you view the next year or two? The whole lot, TV, radio, print, the whole lot.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the positive thing for us in the market is we actually have audience growth, whereas a number of our competitors and the market are seeing audience declines. So, you know, one of the things I've been disappointed in the last year is TV has been seeing audience declines, but it has had some revenue growth in many quarters. And it's because of the flight by customers to go to safe places, and the brand safe place to go immediately was to TV. So that's an opportunity for us to actually get that money back and educate those agencies that we, you know, we should be the place they want to be, rather than that instant reaction, which was to put it on TV. So from our perspective, you know, overall SMI market last year up 4%. TV was 1% of that, and unfortunately print, you know, was quite a negative as part of that. So I think we'll see continuous improvement across the assets we play in. The market will continue to grow, and we're well positioned with the audience and the assets we have.
Right. And just one thing on the three digitals. I mean, originally when you were doing the merger with Fairfax, the proposition was that you know, they could drop in quite a bit of their classified skills in, certainly in the real estate segment in Domain. By proceeding with these independently, right, you know, the three pillars, are you sort of taking a view that the High Court appeal will not succeed?
No, absolutely not. We just think we've got a great proposition and we want to get on with the business and still that opportunity in the future.
Okay. All the best then. Thank you.
Roger.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Boggs for closing remarks.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. As I say, we're pleased with our progress this year and the result we've delivered over the last 12 months, the priorities we've delivered on and the focus we've got on the six key priorities of the business and importantly the three new digital initiatives. I look forward to seeing many of you on the days ahead, but happy to take any further calls offline when appropriate. Thanks everyone.